Good evening. How's everyone? Rested up? Getting there? We had a great weekend right here. The great is his faithfulness. And I just enjoyed it. Just sitting here with the guys, the pastors, and the different visitors, and also you guys, too. It wasn't bad hanging out with you, too, you know? No, really, the body just coming out and being together. And it was fantastic. So, and then we kept it going. Last night we went out to Manchester, New Hampshire, and had a great Bible study there. And I believe God's doing a work in Manchester. Really, there were three new visitors came. So we've met seven new people in the past two Bible studies, people coming out. And one couple who came, they were blessed to hear about a missions-minded church. And we said, oh, that's nice. And they said, yeah, we were missionaries in Istanbul for 16 years. I said, wow. I said, we don't know anything. Like, you know what you're talking about. And they were blessed to be there with us. And we told them about our Pastor Roger Robbins in Istanbul and Roger Robbins in Izmir. So they were encouraged to know that the work is continuing in Turkey. And they said, it's tough there. I said, yeah, but God's working. I said, I could show you testimonies from Pastor Roger and Roger that young people are coming to the Lord and really finding God's grace. So they were encouraged. So keep praying for Manchester. We have our summer harvest trip planned for August. And believe it or not, we have a plan for Manchester beyond August, right? Like, it's not just leading up to that, but maybe we'll see what God has in store for there, you know, that we would have another Bible study, but maybe even a church there in the next year. We could have a service. We were kind of driving around downtown looking at places. Right? We drove in. We got there early. We wanted to do some soul winning. And as soon as we pulled into downtown, it started raining. Not like, oh, it's raining. Like, people could have been kayaking down the street. Like, it was pouring. And then we drove around just looking at different parks and different places to set up and do some evangelism. And as we pulled out and got to the Bible study, which is only like 2 miles outside of downtown, it was completely dry. Like, the ground was dry. So we said, okay. Well, we still had a good time. So we're looking at buildings, old church buildings, and say, hey, what if that could be us, you know? So who knows? But God does, right? So I'll keep praying for that. And it's fun to be on a mission, right? On a mission. Where we are, right? Hudson, we got a vision for Hudson. Right? Jerry's in Christopher Heights again, doing a Bible study on Tuesday in Christopher Heights in the Cochran House. And anybody else doing a Bible study anywhere? Right? Huh? I want all the guys to be doing Bible study. I want all the ladies to be telling them what to preach. No, no, I'm just kidding. By grace, we're growing. So open with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Really, really the whole chapter, but we'll just read a few verses. And which ones do you pick when you turn to Romans 8? What do? What do we just kind of pick one? Mrs. Myers is here. Huh? Isn't that exciting? Mr. Myers isn't. What happened? I got an hour after if you guys need a meeting or something. Okay. No. I'm just joking. Okay, Romans 8 and we could start in verse 29. Romans chapter 7, there's a frustration there. Have you ever read Romans 7? And have you ever been frustrated reading Romans chapter 7 and saying, like, what is he saying? And I feel like he's a little frustrated with his experience as a believer. And that's it. He is wrestling with the two natures that we have, the old sin nature that wants to do what it wants to do, but then also we are born of God, and we have a new nature, and it wants to be fed by God. Right? Have you ever had the options there? I went out to lunch with Pastor Chad Braswell, Father Michael, and Pastor Logan recently, and I said, well, I know what I should order, but then I know what I want to order, right? And I know, like, one is good, one is not. And I said, but I'm going to take the one that's not everything. Just deep fry everything. Let's just go for it. All right, so, like, we have that in us. Like, when we face food, like, should I have the kale salad or should I have the milkshake, right? Like, the conflict is there. But spiritually, it is there also. That God is drawing us and God is speaking. Like we read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters and he feeds me in the green pastures, right? Like that is there. He is leading us as a gentle shepherd. But then also my soul cleaves to the dust, right? And I can find myself eating out of a dumpster spiritually, right? By allowing the flesh to do what it wants to do. This is nothing new. This is the struggle of a believer, that we are in this conflict. Galatians 5:17 says the spirit lusts against the flesh, right? Meaning that there is combat there, like trench warfare. And what they are fighting for is my heart, my that which one will I submit to? Which one will I give into? That I will be led by one, God, my shepherd, or my flesh that is like cleaves to the dust. I will be led by one. So that's what's happening with Paul in Romans 7, and he is struggling with it. And he says, how come I know I should eat the kale salad, I end up eating the milkshake, right? How come it is spiritually I know what I should do, but I do the opposite? What I don't want to do, I don't want to be led by the flesh, but I find myself going down that route again. Where is that? What is the conclusion he comes to? Does he say, look, okay, forget it. Forget it. I guess it doesn't work. Have you heard someone say that to you? I tried Christianity, it doesn't work. I've heard it, and I would say, well, then maybe you never really tried Christianity. It's not like, you know, you go to Trombetta's and you can say, you have 42 different flavors of ice cream. I'd like to sample each one. Like, it's not that way, but it is that I give my life to one. I give my life to God, and that is my faith, not just a sample. Because it could be that the sample is incomplete. Like we're talking about an infinite God with infinite blessings for us, leading us in a spiritual life and feeding us from his resources. There is no way to take a little sample spoon and really experience the whole thing. So Paul, like he does, he ends Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, they all end in the same way. In Christ Jesus. So Romans 7 comes up to this big conflict and this big frustration. So he says, what do? I tried it, it didn't work. I guess I'll go back to being a Pharisee. Or we could say, I tried it, it didn't work. I guess I'll go back to the bar room. I tried Jesus, it didn't work. I guess I'll go back to just smoking pot. I tried it, it didn't work. I guess I'll go back to just talking about people or whatever. But no, Paul doesn't say that. He says, instead, he allows his frustration to lead him to someone. And he allows himself to get to the point where he says, I don't know, I can't figure it out, but... He says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am. Have you ever felt that way? O wretched person that I am. I always do the wrong thing. Ba, 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 right? This is like our self-talk. It's all, we are always negative. And we are just tough on ourselves. Is anybody here tough on yourself? Right? You know, I'll give you some advice. Take it easy. Take it easy. Lighten up on yourself. Right? You always tell other people to take it easy, don't you? Why don't you take your own advice? Take it easy on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't condemn yourself. But you can say, but I failed. Well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the Christian experience that I am confronted with my failure. And like Paul, I come to this conclusion, I'm wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am. He doesn't say, oh, wretched man that I was, and thankfully I figured it out and now I'm great. No, oh, wretched man that I am, and I will continue to be. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who? Can I deliver myself from this body of death? Maybe for some time, but you don't know what's creeping around the corner. Right? You can do everything you can in fitness. You can do everything you can in self-improvement. You can do everything you can in setting yourself up, but the flesh is the flesh. There's no hope in it. Instead, he goes to verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, delivered. Delivered. Like the pressure, we said it last night, the pressure of living the Christian life, of being a good person, of representing Christ. Like the pressure builds up and we can say, ah, I can't handle it anymore. And I go and I'm, what does this verse do? Like it releases all of that pressure of performing the Christian life. It releases all of that pressure of being the ideal Christian. Right? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Yeah, I will pursue God. I will. And along the way, I might trip. I'm going to try not to. That's not leaving the excuse there. Charles Spurgeon says, we will never reach sinless perfection in this life, but that doesn't mean we should stop trying. Right? Like, it's good not to sin. Grace is not saying, okay, it's okay, it's by Christ. And we say, okay, good, let's let it rip. Well, then I might as well enjoy it. Right? If I'm going to fail, I might as well fail good. No, we are being changed and we are being refined. And when I serve the Spirit of God in my mind, I myself serve the law of God, then that will change my actions, right? My actions start somewhere. They do, don't they? Not everything is impulsive, but there is a thought behind it. Maybe it seems impulsive, but it's because you have, in your mind, you have given yourself a green light. So by serving the law of God in my mind, the way I think about things is changed, and then the result is my actions will be changed. But it's by the law of God in my mind. My heart is being changed. Like the Christian life is not an external reality. Right? It can be. It is eventually. But the Christian life is really an internal reality that is expressed out of me, and that's what a Christian is. Right? A Christian isn't somebody who says, okay, what am I supposed to wear? Where am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to talk? The Christian is someone who has put everything before God and obeyed him in the law of the mind, and that has changed the way I dress, changed the way I think, changed the way I talk. It's an inward reality that is expressed outwardly. This is what he is saying here. So yes, I will trip, I will fail, but the truth is I know who I am in Christ. So Paul ends chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 with this in Christ truth. Isn't that good? There's something in that, isn't it? There's something significant there, that if Paul is continuing, he is leading us in these arguments, and then the conclusion is Christ, that should lead us in something, that we come to Christ. So in him, we read in Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? And he's talking about predestination, election, justification, glorification, all of these things he's talking about, the work of God in our life. What shall we say to these things? In this sentence, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? This is not a legitimate question. Who can be against us? It's not, he's not saying, do you have any ideas? I can't find anything. Can you? Can you help me out and tell me something that would be against me or against you or something that would be successful in overcoming you? No, it's actually a challenge to the spiritual world, saying, who out there? It's like Goliath. You remember when Goliath was standing in 1 Samuel 17, standing before the whole army of Israel? What was he doing? He was laying down the challenge, wasn't he? Just send me one guy. I can beat any one of you. Come on out. Let's go. Bring me your biggest, your baddest, your bravest, and if I beat them, we'll be your slaves. If you beat us, we'll be your slaves. Right. Then what happened? David skips out there with his little slingshot, takes care of him, right? But in a sense, God is saying, he is towing the line in the spiritual world, and he's saying, who's going to do anything about this? Who's going to do anything against my children? He says it, if God is for us, and that is saying in the Greek, the context is if and he is, right? There's three ways to say it. If and he could be, if and he is not. But this is saying if and he is, based on the truth that God is for us, who can be against us? Who out there will put their face in God's face and say, I can get them? Nobody. Nobody. The devil has to use his little avenues around. He is sneaking around, and he is hiding under a cloak of darkness, and he is like in the darkness, in the cloud. He is behind the scenes, right? Sneaking. He cannot be outright with it, because God is for us. God is for us. We could think of being for something. Have you ever been for, behind something, behind someone, behind a team maybe? I remember in Baltimore, there was a running back, his name's Ray Rice, right? I'm sure we know the name, Ray Rice, right? He was amazing. In Baltimore, everyone loved him. Number 27, everybody had his jersey, everybody had his t-shirt. You know, all the kids wanted to be Ray Rice because he was like 5'2" or something. He was like running under people's legs, right? The linemen couldn't catch him. He was as big as it was in Baltimore. Right? Everybody was for Ray Rice. And then one terrible night, stupid night, foolish night, right, he knocks his girlfriend out in an elevator, right? Stupid, a coward, right? What happened the next day? Not many people were for Ray Rice, right? God is not that way with us. Imagine God is there with our banner. He's got our jersey number on, whatever it is. Yeah, go. Ooh, and he like takes off our jersey and throws it away. I cannot be for you anymore. You failed again. That was it. I can't do it anymore. No, God is for us in a way that we can't understand on earth. Maybe with our children we understand it, that we are for them and we would do anything. But God is beyond that, and he is for us. It says he is for us in the sense of what he does, that God acted for our benefit in one certain way. God acted for us. And by this one certain way of him acting for us, he told us and gave us an understanding for all of eternity that he was for us, and he would never turn his back on us. He would never forsake us. And he would never allow anything out there creeping around in the bushes to have any access to us. And that is in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son. He did not spare his own son. God did not spare his own son. Meaning that here is, right? Forgive me, Lord, for using a music stand to illustrate you, right? Like, here is Christ, the best, the finest, the most glorious fellowship in the Trinity, the love of the Father and the Son, the most unique thing in all of existence, right? The only begotten Son, not created but ever with the Father, that he did not say those people are lost in the fellowship of the Trinity. They will be sinful. They will be lost. They will need salvation. But you are too much. I'm going to withhold you. And keep, like God would keep Christ back, and that Christ, God would reserve Christ for something different. But instead, what he did is he did not spare him. He did not keep him back, but instead he thrust him out into the middle of a war that no one else could handle. And he allowed him to be handled, to be abused, to be crucified. For what? For us. For us. So that we could, for our entire lives, look to the cross and know that God is for me in a way that he would not hold back anything or anyone in his pursuit of my salvation. And he did it. He accomplished it. He achieved it. Oh my gosh, Christ died. It says, it goes on in verse 34. Okay, we'll read verse 33 because we can't skip things. I'd lose sleep tonight if I knew we skipped a verse. Oh, we got to finish verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, instead of holding him back and reserving him, have you ever done that? Right, like with like food or something, like, ooh, I'm going to save this. I'm going to spare this. Like, wait till the kids go to bed, then I'm going to eat this. Right? My mom used to do that to me. Right? When I was a teenager, I would just open the door. It was like a vacuum cleaner, just be emptied in 3 seconds. Just I'd eat all the food, just all of it. So she had to like survive somehow. My mom, my parents needed to survive. So they started hiding leftovers in cottage cheese containers because I wouldn't eat. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't eat cottage cheese. So one day I was so desperate, so hungry, wasn't going to make it. I actually said, all right, cottage cheese it is. I opened the cottage cheese and there was a steak in it. I was like, oh. It's like, Mom, all right, the gig is, it was spared from me. Like the steak was spared, so I would, like Christ rolled it all. Christ is given. Everything is rolled and nothing is spared. It is all given. Nothing is held back. There isn't anything that God has held back from us. There isn't anything that he has said, no, they are not precious enough to me that I would give them this. I'm going to put it on the top shelf where they can't find it. No, Christ is everything, right? He is the foundation of existence, the only begotten Son, and he took the only begotten Son and he pushed him right out there. He delivered him up for us all. He delivered him up for what? Us. How many of us? All of us. What does that mean? All of who? All of people. Right? All of us. Anyone. No reserve, no reservation, no like rationing, but all, so that all could be saved. Knowing that, how would we approach him? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What would he hold back from me? What would he not give me if he has given me his son? But remember, this is in the context of God. Romans 8:28, God, all things, what is it? We know all things work together for good to those who love God. And we can say, God, this isn't good. And he says, no, this is good. Right? And this things that we need in Romans 8:32 is in God's understanding of what we need, not in my understanding of what I need. It's better. It's more precious. So then based on that, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Again, he's saying, again, who can challenge that? Who can come against that? Who can offer anything greater? Who can contend with anyone stronger? Like Goliath thought he was stronger. The devil thinks he's stronger than us. But he knows he's not stronger than God. He knows he cannot contend with Christ. That's why he tries to draw us out into the flesh. So we're like the little zebra out on the outside of the herd, right? The teens, you guys talked about zebras the other night, right? I got the lowdown from the Armin girls, right? But like the little zebra outside of the pack. I saw a zebra in South Africa one time. It was walking along with other ones, and it had a claw marks up its side, right? Yeah, and a big chunk out of its hindquarter, right? He made it through the night. Right? Can you imagine? Terrible night that was. But anyway, like the little one on the outside, like the devil is luring me out into the flesh. And what does he use? He uses condemnation. He uses shame. He uses fear. He uses inadequacy. He uses a low self, whatever, low self-esteem, measuring and comparison. And we're just like, woo, 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 woo. Like getting further and further from a healthy place. And he's luring. Why? Because that's when he has access to me. But when I am in spiritually minded, and I am equipped, and I have the armor on, he cannot touch me. He can't. He cannot touch me. So I run back to this place. I come to Christ. That's why he says it repeatedly through the Bible. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come running boldly to the throne of grace. We come with boldness and confidence, like all of these verses about coming to God. Why? Because he knows we need him, and he's made a place for us. So be there. Don't be drawn away from it when the devil reminds you of your sin. Don't listen to him. Remind him again of the cross. That's what he has given to us. That's what Paul is saying in Romans 8:32. Listen, God has given you a victory in the cross. Don't be distracted by something smaller, right? If he has taken care of the biggest issue in humanity, which is sin, if he has lifted 10,000 pounds over his head, he can handle lifting 100 pounds over his head. Like, don't think that he is not interested. Don't think he doesn't care. He didn't spare his son. He threw him out into the arena. Not so that I would be insecure and ashamed of myself and accessible to the devil, but so that I would stand with boldness and confidence in the place that he made for me, which is in Christ. Don't be distracted. Oh, wretched, we could say, but oh, wretched person that I am. Yeah, but remember the greater truth. That you are seated in heavenly places, that you are a child of God. You are a royal priest, a royal king and queen. You are the child of God, the apple of God's eye. This is who we are. That is what the whole New Testament is telling us, that we are greater than our sin. So then here we go. Who is he who condemns? Who is he who condemns? Well, we can answer that question. Wherever, whatever angle condemnation comes from, we have an answer for it. Who is it that condemns? I condemn myself. The devil condemns me. My wife condemns me. No, she doesn't. But it could be, right? My friends condemn me. My school condemns me. My job condemns me. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. We can find many options. What's my answer? My answer is, it is Christ who died. Furthermore, is risen, who is even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. There's my answer. How many of those things in Romans 8:34 are accomplished by me or you? Not a one of them. Not one. We are drawn into the work of God and to be recognizing the work of God in our life. And then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes on to name 17 things. And one of them is any other thing you can think of, basically. There isn't anything that can separate us from the love of Christ. So, what I want to say tonight is that the work of Christ, the gift of God, God being for us, that God being for us does two things. One, it excludes limitations. There is an exclusion. In God being for us, he excludes limitations. And that's Romans 8 all the way. Romans 8:1, there is therefore how much condemnation? No condemnation. When is there no condemnation? Now, there is therefore now no condemnation. Noema de condenison. There is therefore now no condemnation. For who? For those who are in Christ. There is no condemnation. There is no power that can stand against us. That's what we just read in verses 31 through 34. There is no power that can stand against us. That's what the statement is. He is not looking for someone who can, but he is making a statement and he is saying, anything out there cannot stand against me, and I am for them. Right? Isn't that great? Like God tells all of my enemies, the big diabolos, the big enemy, he says, I am for them, and good luck. Why don't you give it another try? Right? Why don't you give it another try? And the devil will. He will. But our answer, our victory, our strength is in Christ. But also, there are great inclusions. Number two, there are great inclusions. And the things that are included are amazing. All right? We say that the things that are excluded are limitations. So God takes away the limitations. The little boxes that we put ourselves in. Right, sinner, right? I swore, right? Adulterer. Like we put ourselves in these little boxes and they limit us and we live by them. Right? But God takes away those limitations. He excludes them from our relationship with him. And now what he includes is limitless. So he excludes the limitations and he includes the limitless. And I'm thinking of Ephesians 1:3. It says this. Oh, it wasn't turning. Ephesians 1:3. He has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Right? We have in Christ every spiritual blessing from heavenly places. How many are those blessings? I don't know. We could go through the Bible. We count the promises. There are many thousands of promises in the Bible. But then we could read a little further in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says that eye has not seen, nor has ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us. Those are the things that he has given us. There is an infinite blessing. And when we are placed in Christ, we are placed into something that we don't even know how beautiful it is. And we will spend all of eternity finding out how expansive and how infinite God's grace is, Ephesians 2:7. That's it. Like in the ages to come, there will be a display of grace by Christ in us. So let's not be distracted from these infinite blessings by these finite little containers that we set up for ourselves. Like recognize that God being for us has excluded those things, has effectively booted those things out of our identity. Condemnation, shame, guilt, fear, all of that stuff is gone. And now we are in Christ. And being in Christ, we have an eternity to find out what that means. So let's start now. Let's pursue it now. Let's go deep into it now. And as we go, we find God is faithful. We find that he is always loving us. He is always gracious. There is no one else like him. I'll read a verse in Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64:4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. That he acts for us. He does. That is what he is for us. Don't let anything tell you otherwise. Don't buy a lie. We have bought lies in our life. I have, right? But that's okay. That's okay. Receive grace, be forgiven, and move on. The beautiful thing about being in Christ is that we are always in Christ. And there is no, like, regression. Have you ever had some skill, and then you went to do it after 5 years, and you said, oh, wow, it's not like it used to be. I'm not as good as I was. As a believer, there is no scale where I sin, and then I go back and say, man, I wish I was as saved as I was yesterday. Too bad I'm like this again. No, I am. It says it right there in Romans 8, 30. It says that we are glorified. We are glorified. The reality of that is future, but the truth of it is now, that I am as righteous and as complete now as I ever will be. So don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. Don't listen to the little rustling in the grass, the little suspicions, the little doubts that the devil loves to plant in our ears. There are a lot of false teachings and false doctrines out there that would lead you to doubt this great truth. Don't listen to it. Just because it's coming from the Bible doesn't always mean it's right. Just because somebody has a pastor or a doctor or a theology or an MDiv or whatever in front of his name means he is preaching the true word of God. But we are ones who are in Christ. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and he leads us into this truth. And sometimes he can tap us on the shoulder and he can say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And when it's okay to say, I'm going to reserve believing in that, and I'll look into it myself and find in the Bible what God says about you. That's why we spend the time to give the chapters and the verses so that you can go into the Bible and find it for yourself, the great truth of these messages and of who you are in Christ. Like, you could read the Ephesians 1 and 2, and there's 34 things that it says that who you are in Christ. You could hear a sermon preached on that. You could hear a series preached on that for a year. That'd be fantastic. But then when you go to read it yourself, you will find that God is speaking to you as an individual. And you can find yourself lost in the Word of God, being defined, being built, being encouraged. So go for it. Pursue it. And in this summer, here we are. Are we in summer? I think so, right? It was 90 a couple weeks ago. It's 45 a couple weeks ago. But yeah, we're in summer. And now we have a great summer ahead of us. And let's not let off the throttle. Let's not be here, be in church, be together with the body of Christ. We're here on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Do we have Wednesday at church in the summer? Yeah, of course we have. We have no summer schedule, right? We continue. We continue, and not like in the sense that we need this and we need to be built up in who we are. We need to be surrounded with people who think the same way so that we can go out there and have confidence and walk in a healthy way and be like a representative of Christ. Because we, trust me, we are not losing. We will not be overcome. We are not. We could walk out in the world, we could be like, you know, like skittish, like the little bunny. You see a little baby bunny out in the front yard? Right? He was eating the flowers this morning. Right? Like, and which way do I go? Right? And he like runs into a bush. Like, we are not that way. As we walk out in the world, we have our head held high and we are confident in who we are in Christ. And the devil can say, take your shot. I got my shield of faith. I got my helmet of salvation. I got my breastplate of righteousness. I got my belt on and it's holding it all together. And I got my sword and I got my shoes and I'm on the move. And you can't push me around. And then so that's going to be our summer. And we're going to continue by faith. We're going to see what God will do in our midst, and that he would heal, that he would deliver, he would answer crazy prayers that we don't even believe. But God can do it, and we'll pray and see what God will do. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for delivering us from a limited life and giving us an eternal life, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. The infinite blessings that are in you. God, every heavenly blessings from heavenly places, Lord, thank you. lead us in each one of them, encourage us in them, build us in them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.